Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Mark chapter 5. Some scripture here, Mark 5 and verse 22 through 24, and then we'll read 35 and 36. We're going to jump right in the middle of the story of the ruler Jairus. And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, between here and there, we know there's the story of the woman with the issue of blood, that she gets her healing. There's this delay in their progress toward his home, where his daughter is at, where the need that he came for is at. Verse 35, while Jesus was speaking to the woman who had the issue of blood, someone from the ruler of the synagogue's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And so today, for a few moments, just want to teach on this thought, his word is enough. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for your presence and for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for your word, the faith it gives, the lessons that it teaches us. Lord, today let us hear, let us receive it, be made better by it. We're going to praise you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. If you would clap your hands to the Lord one more time before you're seated. Thank God for his word this morning. His word is enough. Praise God. This story probably paints out the picture of our situations of our life as good as any in Scripture. Because it seems like many times once we come to God for something that there's some sort of delay. We get hung up on it's not happening when we want it. But one thing about the Lord is that no matter what his time frame is, it'll be right on time. And there's a very simplistic principle in this that we feel like would just be a given. But we have to keep believing through it all. The Bible says that if we come to God, we must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's an implied keep believing. If I've ever believed on him, I can't stop. I can't believe God one day and not believe him the next day. This one thing about it, you can never not believe God, because number one, he's faithful. The scripture says that. If we look at Deuteronomy 7 and 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. And so that's number one. God is faithful. No matter what we're going through, what we're facing, what the situation is, God is faithful. And if we have enough faith to come and ask, that we must have enough faith to see it through. There was a reason that Jairus risked his reputation, his position in the synagogue, all these things, his daughter that he loved more than any of these things. He loved his daughter. He had to have an answer. He wanted something to happen. He had a desperate need And he didn't go to doctors, anybody, but he went and found this miracle worker that he had heard about. He had heard about what Jesus could do, and he had heard the stories. Maybe he had even been witness to some of the people who had received miracles. Whatever it was, he had faith that Jesus can fix this. And maybe he let it go a little bit longer than he should have because he was worried about some things, but it got to a point where he said, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks, I'm going to Jesus with this need. He had enough faith to seek Jesus out, go into a crowd of people and say, please come to my house. My daughter is about to die. Lay your hands on her and she will be healed and she'll live. He just spoke out, this is going to happen. Not that she might live. He said, I know the power is in you to do this. And that kind of faith moved Jesus. He was ministering to many people. He was in that crowd. People were coming to him. But now he had a direction to go. He was going to go with Jairus to his home. And while he was going with him, he gets the bad news. Hey, your daughter has died. So don't trouble. Why are you still? Once they're telling Jairus, now that you know that your prayer is just, they think because she died that, you know, there's no need of asking Jesus anything else. He can only do something if she still has breath in her body. And so why are you still troubling him? Why are you just, come on home, let's plan the funeral, let's come home so you can comfort your wife who is grieving right now, and let's just get this thing over with. But Jesus said, as soon as he heard the word, Jesus knows how important words are to us. He knows the impact that words can have on us. You know, we know that. People can say things and, you know, that's worse than getting punched in the face sometimes. The words they say can cut you to the bone. I mean, they just, all the way into your heart, they hurt your heart, they hurt your feelings, it troubles your mind. Words are so powerful and can get change. Words can change your direction. And these words had the power to change the direction of Jairus at that moment. What he heard, he could have said, you know, thank you for hearing me, Jesus. I wish you would have hurried it up a little bit. Wish you wouldn't have messed with that woman. We'd just come on. Maybe we would have got there. You know, he could have been bitter, angry. It could have done a whole lot of things. But as soon as Jesus heard the word, he said, now I need to intervene. I need to speak a word that trumps every other word. It trumps every other word. It trumps every other situation. And he said, as soon as he heard the word, he looks at Jairus, and he speaks directly to him. He's not worried about what anybody else hears. He just says, hey, you don't be afraid, only believe. You came to me with this need. Let's go ahead and finish this. Keep on believing, just like you did before you got this bad news. If you knew I could do it before, keep believing that I can still do this thing. Let's do it. The miracle is in that faith, in that must, in that believing. We must believe that he is able to do. When it says believe that he is, I started to write a long list, but you know, you could do that yourself. We must believe that he, number one, is able to do what we asked, and he is able to do above what we ask. We know scripture teaches us that. And he just wanted Jesus to come touch her and heal her, but he's able to do more than that. He's able to raise her from the dead. And he's fixing to show Jairus that I'm able to do. Once you come to me with that need and I say, I will go with you, I'll go with you to your house, there is nothing that can happen now that will not bring the outcome you wanted. It's going to happen if you will keep believing, if you will keep walking. And that's our problem sometimes, is we do have faith at the beginning. We have faith to come to Jesus with the need. Here it is. God, I know you can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. We start quoting all the scripture, and it's not enough to quote it. You got to believe it. And, you know, quoting scripture, the devil can quote scripture. We see that. People can quote scripture. We know that. We've got to believe the Word of God. And we've got to believe the promises that there have been given unto us, exceeding great and precious promises. We must remember that when he speaks, and that's what it, one thing in this, when you read this, it says, he said. Once Jesus opened his mouth and said something, it was going to have power in it. And the words he said, be not afraid, only believe, meant something. It didn't mean just, hey, don't fall apart right here in front of everybody. It meant there's an answer coming, that something is going to happen. And that's the other thing that we must remember, that his word is enough. In Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There was a miracle in the words, be not afraid, only believe. There was prosperity in that. He was going to find hope in that. He was going to find an anchor for his soul. And it seems like there's a lot of things that slow down our miracle sometimes. It seems like the process is a little more difficult for us to understand sometimes. You know, it may even seem like what you have asked for is impossible now, but it doesn't matter what anybody else thought. It didn't matter what anybody else said. The fact that she was dead did not matter. Jesus said she's only asleep. When he got to the house, he said, why are you guys making such a fuss? This woman, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. And, of course, they just laughed at that, mocked that. And so he just put them out. He said, if you're going to be like that, go. You got to get out of here. You're not going to see the miraculous if you're going to mock it. And he put them out. And we have to remember that we can. You know, there's always, anytime you're headed toward a miracle, anytime you pray, you just go ahead and know that the option to fear and be discouraged and walk away is going to always show up too. There's always going to be something to try to change your course. And those words of those people could have broke his heart to a point that he said, that's it, I'm done. I can't even believe I wasted my time. He could have went in a lot of different directions. But Jesus said, my word is greater than any word. And my word will keep you on the path if you obey it. My word will keep you in your faith to me if you'll obey it. Just keep walking, keep taking steps toward the miracle. Every step we take, we're walking toward the miraculous is going to happen. You've got to believe that. And I've said this before, that the road to miracles and the road of heartbreak are the same road. There's no two different paths. On this road walking with him, our heart has been broke time and time again. But we have seen the miraculous time and time again. We've seen things, we've been encouraged on this road. We've been rebuked on this road. It's the same path. Every step is the same when we're following him. We can't move off to the left or right. We stay with him. And as we head toward the miraculous, sometimes we come head to head with heartache. And this is what happened with Jairus. He's learning a lot of lessons right here. And so I don't want to just accept, okay, this got worse before the miracle came, so it must not be going to happen. I want to trust them with the faith that I had at the beginning when I knew I had to have this, and I came before him with prayers and fastings and weepings and declarations of faith and making statements of Scripture. And then all of a sudden, well, this happened, and now, man, it ain't nothing no good no more. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm just not praying right. Maybe I'm no good. Man, that's just the enemy filling your mind with doubt, trying to discourage you, trying to get you to just stop believing. Because there was a point. This was the fork in the road. This was where Jairus is going to make a decision. I'm either going to keep walking with God and see this miracle, or I'm going to go bury my daughter. And sometimes we can just dig a hole and bury our prayer because we turn away from being faithful to God because the answer didn't come. Let me tell you, I don't know what you prayed for in 2025, but I guarantee you something you prayed for this year hadn't come to pass yet. God's not constrained to the calendar. You know, if I prayed for it in 25, it's got to happen before New Year's Eve. Why? If it's not ready, it's not ready. If it's not time, it's not time. Again, God is not constrained by our calendar. And he's like, I know when you need what you need. And if 2025 is not the year for it, you know, he's eternal. He don't keep days and weeks and hours and minutes. He's eternal. And so his ways are not like our ways. He doesn't keep time like we do. He don't have to keep a calendar. As I try to be more like God, where I don't keep a calendar, where I don't have to keep a planner. But you know, he just does. But I'm human, so I have to have a planner. And I married a great planner. She keeps me on course and keeps me where I need to be. And so what I see right here in this, and really I could just about sum it up and say, okay, we're done, but is that his word is enough. It's enough. It's enough to silence the negative voices. It's enough to put them to rest. It's enough to stop all the naysayers, all those who would laugh at us because of our faith. It's enough to remove fear. His word is enough to calm our fear. His word is enough to keep us going, to keep us in the faith. I've got to believe that he is, and his word is enough. Again, it will not return void. So just remember, God is faithful. It is impossible for God to lie. So there's no reason to never not believe God. You never have to say, I don't believe God anymore. People do that. I don't know if I believe God anymore. Why? He can't lie. He's not unfaithful. He can't be untrue. He is nothing but good. He has nothing but our best intent. Faithfulness is who he is. And so when he says it, it's settled. His word is there. Even he can't break his word. He can't, or he wouldn't be God. He can't change. He can't break his word. It's got to do what he said it would do. And our part is that we must just simply keep believing. Keep believing that the word that he said is enough. Keep believing that the words that you read are enough. You know, there's things, even in our doctrine, there are voices everywhere that want to speak against our belief, what we are, who we are as apostolics, that we believe that there is only one God and his name is Jesus. Well, that's in the scripture. That's in the word. Nothing can change that. But yet, I see people who believed oneness and quoted oneness and stood for oneness get pulled off, and now they believe Trinitarian doctrine that men came up with. How's that happen? It happens when you stop believing the word. I see people that walk away from holiness, that they all of a sudden decide, even though they were baptized in Jesus' name and filled the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues, that now that's not necessary. Really? But it was good enough for you. And but now they won't share that with anybody. They won't talk about that with anybody because why? Somebody told them, oh, it doesn't matter. That's not enough. And it's not necessary. And they believed another word. But if you stay with it, and that's the thing, is that then when you talk to them, you say, but the scripture says, and then it's always, but I don't feel like that matters. You don't feel like it matters. If it's in the word, it matters. And so nothing changes the doctrine. There is one God. He was manifest in the flesh and walked this earth. He was Jesus Christ of Nazareth that died for our sins. His name is Jesus. And there is no other way to be saved but through the name of Jesus. There is no other way to have your sins remitted but through baptism in Jesus' name. There is no other way to receive the Spirit of God but through him pouring it out on you. And the initial sign of you being filled with the Holy Ghost will be you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. The continual work of the Holy Ghost in your life, that you have that, will be the fruit of the Spirit. We are the trees of righteousness. And he said, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. And so then after we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our life. That is the ongoing work of the Holy Ghost in us. And those things are true. They can't be changed. That's the Word of God. but they can twist it and say it. And sometimes if they catch you in a place where you're discouraged, like Jairus was, they catch you in a place of loss, like Jairus was, if they catch you in a place of uncertainty, like Jairus was, sometimes it's easy to just listen to the words and the facts and accept what's happening right now as the truth. But his word is greater than any truth that the world can ever present. It's greater than any fact that we may ever run up against. We must keep believing. In Matthew 7:7-8, the Lord said this, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, these are not just one-time events. We've heard this scripture, we've been taught it, we have memorized it, we have quoted it, but it doesn't benefit us at all if we don't have faith in it. We can't just quote it. We've got to believe that this will happen. The problem is this, is that seeking, asking, and knocking are not one-time events in our life. If I have everything that I need, I don't have to ask for anything. Or seek for anything. And if every door is already opened, I don't have to knock. But that's not the case. But people are afraid as they walk with God to let people see them in need. You ask when you need something. You seek when you need to find something. And you knock when you need something opened. As I walk with Him, you will continually see me asking, seeking, and knocking. Because every day is going to present something new. Every season of life is going to bring you a new need, a new something, a new problem, a new somewhere down the road. You're going to still need, so you're going to have to ask. You're going to still have to have something, so you're going to have to keep seeking. You're going to need doors to open, so you've got to keep knocking. Don't let people, don't be afraid to let people see you seeking and asking and knocking. I know it's in this world today where people love to compare themselves. The internet and social media has just poured gas on that fire because we see these people, oh, they've got everything. They've got it all together. And some people act like they've got it all together. They wouldn't dare let anybody think that they are anything less than perfect. But even the Apostle Paul, he said, "I am not perfect, and I have not yet attained, but I'm not going to let that stop me from reaching forth. I'm not going to let that stop me from moving forward and seeking God and trying to win Christ. I'm going to keep doing that. I've got revelation. I've been preaching. I've started churches. I've seen miracles. I've been stoned and left for dead." His life is incredible. And he said, but in all of this, I still seek, I still ask, I still knock, because I have not yet attained. But people want to, use that, well, I'm not perfect yet, to not do anything. You've got to keep believing God and trusting God and doing for God while He's working. The potter's wheel is not a timeout for us. Well, as soon as I get off this wheel, I'll get busy. We work while we're on the wheel. His ways are not like our ways. So we're not a dead piece of clay like in this world, and that clay stays right there under the hand of the potter. We're under the hand of the potter while we're walking, while we're preaching, while we're ministering, while we're growing. We're constantly under His hand. It's not a time out. It's not, oh, well, God's got me on the wheel right now, so I'm just going to sit here and not do nothing. Man, you're going to be under His hand, and you're going to be on that wheel till He calls you out of here. We're always being molded and shaped by Him. We are of continual work of God. I am not yet complete. I am complete in Him, but I am not yet perfect. He is not finished with me. There are things that I need. There are things I need to be rid of. There are the imperfections that have to go. I need ways to be closer. I need things to happen better for me. I've got a lot of work that like the old saying, be patient. God ain't done with me yet. God's still working on me, you know, and just realize that, hey, this is a continual work. And don't be down on yourself because he's working on you. You're in the state that he wants you to be in. He's going to keep molding, moving, and we have to grow and mature in that. Be content with that. Oh, I'm not where they are. Well, they're not where you are. I mean, we could just turn around and point fingers at everybody. Hey, I'm not where you are. Well, I'm not where you are. You know where I am. It's all day long. It's not about that. We're all baptized into one body. Nothing changes that. And if we're in one body, we're all fed by the life-giving force. Every part of my body is my body. It's all fed by this same nervous system, this brain, this heart, these lungs, these veins, this blood. Doesn't matter if one of them's, you know, I can lay on one of them and one hand's asleep, and I can't hardly do nothing with it right now, but it's still here. You know, there's parts of your body you wish were better, wish worked better, wish looked better, all that stuff, but it's still there. That's the way it is. It's still part of the body. And whether I've got it in the shape I want it to be in yet or not, I'm still using it. I mean, I'll see people out of shape doing stuff all the time. I'm one of them. The other day we were pushing my grandson down the driveway, and he wanted to go in a little fast burst, and I did about 20 little 10-yard sprints. When we got to the end of the driveway, my wife was like, are you all right? And I said, yeah. She said, no, are you all right? Because I was like this. I used to could do that and stand upright. It just happens. But I still did it. Atticus, I'll tell you what, I'll pick you up when I'm done with my this year's weightlifting program. I'll tell you what, I'll push you once I run 2 or 3 miles a day for the next year. I'm going to do it right now. And it was just as fun for me, even though I was sucking wind. It was still fun for me because hearing him squeal and holler and laugh was worth it all. God still use you while you're on the wheel. He didn't put you on the wheel to set you in time out. He put you on the wheel to make something out of you. His word is enough. Keep believing. Keep trusting. God's going to get you there. Don't let any facts presented stop you from believing. No, this is what I prayed for. This is what I came to him for. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer said, let us fear lest the promise being left us. Don't let the promise leave you, man, of entering in. Now, he's talking about a different situation, but the principle is there. Don't let the promise. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises, and God's word means what it says. Don't let those promises leave you. Hold on to those things so that you don't come up short. Then he said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, and this is what I want you to hear, the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. As powerful as that word is, it can do nothing. There is no profit to people that hear it without faith. If they don't have faith, if they won't believe that word, it can't do anything for them. You can, and that's the thing, you can memorize it, you can quote it all day long, but if there's no faith in it, it won't profit you, it will only frustrate you. Well, I'm quoting the word, but are you having faith when you speak it? I'm praying the word, but are you having faith while you're praying? Man, go to God with it, and then build yourself up on your most holy faith. And pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, and build yourself up on your faith. Just let that faith get stronger. And people say, well, is faith weak or strong? We're going to see in just a minute what it says about that. But don't stop believing in the word of promise that God gave you. Jesus told this man, don't be afraid, only believe. When it looks like hope is gone, keep believing. When it looks like it's gotten worse, keep believing. When it looks like it's stalled out, just keep believing. Keep hanging on to the word. Just believe that his word is enough for you. Let his word be enough for you. Amen? Praise God. I want to make sure I'm believing in what God said. There's another story in the scripture that has a similar phrase in it that reminds me when I read the story of Jairus, and it's in 1 Kings with Elijah and the woman who was a widow, and she was preparing the last meal for her and her son. Elijah came to her and said he was hungry. He wanted something to eat, and she said, I don't have anything. She said, I'm making this last little cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it and die. And this is Elijah's answer. He said unto her, fear not. Don't be afraid. He said, fear not. Just go and do what you said you were going to do. But when you make it, make a little cake first for me and bring it to me. Well, she said she had enough for one cake for her and her son. He said, he was letting her know, you go make a cake for me first. There'll be something left. There'll be something there. And then afterwards, make for you and your son. I just told you I had enough for one cake. Just believe. There'll be no waste of the meal. The oil won't fail. And there's going to be provision. Until this famine's over with, you will eat every day. If you will do, if you will realize that this word is enough, it trumps what you see in your kitchen right now. In your kitchen, all you see is the Last Supper. But he's about to give you a feast that's going to take care of you and me and your son during this famine. God's going to make sure we're provided for. His word is greater than the situation. His word is enough to sustain us. We must believe that he is. We must believe that he is the provider. And that's what makes us. The scripture says we are believers, and that's what makes us who we are. These signs shall follow them that believe. And I want to make sure that I don't let fear stop me from doing what could get me out of my mess. Fear could have stopped her. All she saw. I mean, you think, what other option does she have? Because all she saw was death. And the word brought life. All she saw was the end. And the word said, no, this is a new beginning. And I'm telling you that if we can grab that and be people of the word, and that's who we are. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God. We are people of the word. The reason we are children of God is because he is the word. In the beginning was the word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we are complete in him that is the Word. We are born again in him that is the Word. We are new creatures in him that is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. Friend, I'm telling you, you can't get away from it. We are people of God's Word. And that's why we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because that is the life. Too many people are just trying to wear the name on their shirt and not live the life. And that just won't work. That's a recipe for misery. And you will be so frustrated and miserable trying to wear a name tag and a WWJD on your shirt. Friend, you have just got to go ahead and live by the word of God. And be okay with what the word is making out of your life. Oh, you know, people, the world won't like what the word's making. It won't. You're right. It won't. The world will laugh at what the word makes out of you. They'll mock it. They won't understand it. They'll tell you it's not. They'll say why you're wrong. They'll tell you you're wrong. But that's the world. But the word is the word. And if we line up with the word, we are going to be peculiar in this world. We will be strange in this world. We will be hated in this world because they hated him that was the Word. That's what it is. But the Word's enough. I don't need the approval and the pat on the back from the world. I don't need their thumbs up and their likes and things like that on social media. I don't need all that. I don't have to every once in a while, season my post with a little worldliness so the people won't think I'm crazy. I don't say anything to you about that. But what I'm telling you is this Word, it's enough. It's enough for the miraculous. It's enough for our life. It's enough. It's to make us who we are supposed to be. Praise God. And when I think about who do I want to be, you got to be careful with that, because you'll start saying who I want to be, and your flesh will start answering. But when you think about it, you want to say, I want to be who He wants me to be. And if I am who He wants me to be, that's all I need. And that's what I want. Who do you want to be? I want to be who He wants me to be. Well, what's that mean? I don't know yet. I don't know it all. Now we're the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what all He's got yet, but where I am right now, I am content in whatever state I'm in, because His Word is what got me here. His Word is what has made me who I am. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. It's by God's Word who I am. And so I've been born again by the Word of God. I'm different than I was. I've got to be different than who I was. And this woman, just like Jairus, she had a choice. I don't have to believe this old crazy man walk out of the desert tell me to give me my last meal up. I'm let my kid go hungry right before he dies. At least I could give him that little comfort. But she said, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. And we're going to live. And that's it. Both these stories are similar situations. Is that a parent was standing in the gap for a child. If you're not going to do it for you, then for who? Who is it that is depending on you to keep going? Jairus' daughter was at home. Maybe she knew. Maybe she was well enough to know. Maybe he told her, I'm going to get Jesus, honey. I'll be back. And as she's fading out, she's waiting for him. She drifts off into that sleep, that sleep of death that Jesus is talking about. And there she is. But how many people today in your life are sleeping, but they are depending on you to keep going with God? Yeah. Moms and dads, we got a young church, a lot of young kids coming up in this place. Let me tell you something. Your children need to see you keep going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need to see you. It is important for their life. You are. Right now, if you live by that Word, they're going to live. Jairus kept going. His daughter's resurrected. This woman believed the man of God. Her son kept eating. He didn't starve to death and die. Somebody is wanting you. Somebody needs you. Who needs you to be strong? Who needs you to have faith? Who needs you to keep going today? That daughter, she needed her father to stay strong. Don't let these things throw you. Don't let this world throw you. Keep trusting God. Keep believing God, because somebody needs you to keep going. They don't even realize what's going on. They don't even know anymore. They're out. The Bible says the dead know not anything. She has no idea now. She's drifted, slipped into eternity, and she's brought back when he touches that hand and says, she didn't resurrect when he got her by the hand. She resurrected when he said, I say unto you, may it arise. The Word reached, just like it did for Lazarus, broke through. Lazarus come forth, touched him in eternity and brought him back. And that Word is stronger than death. is stronger than anything that comes against us. We have to believe that the word is enough. And I tell you, by the authority of God's word today, don't be afraid. Only believe. God has an answer for you. It's going to come. And I know I'm running close to time here. In Romans 4, the story of Abraham, is Paul is recounting this. And he says, as it is written, I've made you a father, which, speaking of Abraham, of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham, even though he knows his condition, he knows his wife's condition, he knows naturally and biologically this is just not supposed to happen, he had hope because God had spoken it. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then he said, and not being weak in faith. We were talking about, can faith be strong or weak? Well, faith is just faith. Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He was about 100 years old. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm not even considering what I see and what I know to be greater than God's word. He said it would happen. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Not weak in faith, strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, or in other words, being fully persuaded of God's word, that he was able also to perform it. He said, I am persuaded that the word is enough and it can bring it to pass. Darling, if you want to come to the music. And then the story continues, and it talks about Sarah in the book of Hebrews. It says, Hebrews 11, through faith also, Sarah. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. That's always been. She heard what God said. She laughed at it at first. He checked her on it. He said, why'd you laugh? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She said, the word is enough. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, they were persuaded and embraced the promises. I'm going to hang on to the promise. You can stand with me. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So let's embrace the promises, be persuaded by them. There's something better for us. They said they were looking for a better country. They were looking for a place built by God. And, you know, I want this to be a better country. I want to hang on to the word. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So hold fast, keep believing, keep trusting God's word. It is enough. The miracle is in the word. It's in the making. It's going to happen. God's going to get you there. Just keep believing. Just trust him. We must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that seek him. And remember this. There are people in our lives that need us not to give up. Don't give up on faith. Don't give up on your walk. Stick to it. Oh, it always affects somebody. You may think nobody really cares what I do or no, but it always affects somebody. When people turn and walk away, fall away. It affects people. And many times it pulls others off the path. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on Jesus. God will get you there. His word is enough. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.